inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Alex, if somebody wants to build wealth through rental properties, what do you think the most important factor is?
You know what, Dan? Just take action, stop dwelling, and buy real estate and just hold on to it.
So it's the time. The time going by is really where the wealth is kind of automatically going to be built for you?
Oh, absolutely.
When you were building your rental portfolio, did you do anything creative, like any kind of creative financing, or were you an expert on doing rehabs?
No rehabs, no creative financing, just regular purchases. Most of my properties, I found them on the MLS and just save money, put a down payment, got a loan, and turn them into rentals.
If you think you need to take on a lot of risk to build out your rental portfolio, or you need a huge rental portfolio to be successful, this episode might change your mind. We first met Alex 3 years ago on episode number 209. And on that episode, we talked about his strategy of just saving money. And as he had the money saved, he would use that as a down payment on another rental property. And his goal was to add one property a year to his portfolio. That's it. Nothing fancy, just a regular single family house every year. What's great about Alex is he's just a regular guy that is slowly building out his rental portfolio. And on the show today, we're going to talk to him about what he's doing, see if he's doing anything differently today, and how he's building wealth without a huge rental portfolio. Joining us on the show today from Bakersfield is Alex Dirtia. We'll take a really quick break. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Alex. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com.
Rental Income Podcast.
Dan, let me ask you this. When are you going to start investing in Bakersfield?
That's a great question. So California scares me a little bit. And maybe you can tell me if this is just a perception or if this is reality. But I always hear that California is a very tough place to do business, and the laws are very tilted towards the tenants. Is that true, or is that just what people say?
It's true. But I think, you know what, if you had the right staff in place, right management company in place, and you're screening your tenants the right way and doing all your due diligence, all those mistakes can be avoided. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
I'll be very honest. You know, if I was to move out of California, I would continue investing in California, whether it's Bakersfield or any other cities, primarily because the rent growth is insane.
Right.
In addition to rent growth, the property values, the appreciation is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that we bought has gone up like from 400 to 550 right now. I mean, you can't make $150,000 appreciation in less than 2 years. I don't think in any other state.
You're right. I mean, it's the appreciation that California sees is like nothing else in the country. I mean, it's really, I mean, you can make a ton of money on appreciation. Yeah. And then also rent growth. I mean, you've seen a ton of rent growth, and I think probably more than other areas.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the doors that it opens up for future, right? So, I mean, just think about all this. Like, if I hold on to all these property for next 10 years, imagine all the appreciations I collected. And I'm, if I sell all this and roll it into an apartment complex in Midwest or any other state, I mean, that would just be insane.
Alex, for anyone that maybe didn't hear your first interview, why don't we start off with you telling us what you were doing before you started buying rentals?
Yeah. Well, Dan, first of all, thank you so much for having me back on the show. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. So
of course,
thank you.
Of course.
I used to work in banking. I was a personal banker and then a business banker. And I went asked my manager for a promotion, and then I was shot down multiple times. So my wife suggested I should become a real estate agent. So I became a real estate agent, and then I started selling homes left and right. I helped a couple of investor clients, and I saw what rentals was like truly like. And then, I mean, I had owned some rentals previously also. So then I really laser focused down on rentals and started buying left and right.
And so when you were buying, your strategy, like you were saying at the beginning, was just saving up money. And when you had that 20% down payment, you were just buying another property.
Simple. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
And when we talked last time, you were buying about a property a year. Is that still what you're doing or what you've been doing since we last spoke?
Yes and no. Well, I kind of upped the goal. So last time we spoke, yeah, the goal was to buy one property a year and build wealth that way, right? But then I started buying fourplexes, duplexes, and single family doors. So it averages out to 5 doors a year since we spoke.
Okay, awesome. And now, what made you want to get into fourplexes?
Cash flow.
Just cash more flow. Money, more money per property.
Yeah, that, the leveraging, you know, like if two of your tenants walk, you still have other two that are willing to pay your mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. So I felt it was a little bit more secured. And the vacancy where I live in Bakersfield is like less than 1%. So finding a tenant is no problem right now. Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing with Bakersfield is it's not a cheap area. And I'm assuming you probably can't find crazy deals. I mean, you're not buying $50,000 properties in Bakersfield, right?
No. The cheapest home I bought is $75,000. But that one is hovering around $200,000 right now. And some of the four units we've bought is close to $500,000-$600,000.
So, you know, a lot of times on the show, we talk about the 1% rule where a property, if you're going to buy it for $100,000, you want it to rent for $1,000 a month. Is that possible in your market?
Yes, case by case, right? That rule applies to some of my property, and that rule does not apply to some of my property. So, yeah, it's still doable, but it's getting harder and harder by the day.
And all right, so I guess like what I'm trying to get at here is that like your properties when you bought them, they weren't making crazy money, right? But I guess like where you've really benefited is through the rent increases. Like, so your properties are making you a lot more money today. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, one of our houses, we were collecting $1,300 a month. Our mortgage was $1,200, but as time went by, that rent now is $1,900, and the mortgage is still the same.
Yeah.
So definitely the rent increase over time, just holding on to it, and that appreciation definitely helps out.
And you know, I think that's an important thing because like rents generally do go up over time, but like when you were first buying those properties, did you know in the back of your head these rents are probably going to go up, or were you thinking these rents might be the same price for a really long time?
You know, I was just buying because, you know, the one strategy I'm using is buy and hold. It's going to go up one day. As long as I'm positive cash flow day one, even if it is nothing crazy, let's buy it, right? If we can secure a deal. And then when these tenants move out, we clean up the unit and we increase the rent by 15-20%. So for example, one of our tenants moving out and they've been there for 3 years and they were paying $750. Now that same unit is going to be rented for $1,095.
That's great. Yeah. And like you said, your mortgage is staying the same. Your costs are pretty similar. I mean, sure, your insurance might go up a little bit or maybe your taxes go up a little bit, but your costs are basically the same.
Yeah, it doesn't make that much of a difference. It truly doesn't. I mean, it's the rent increase is and in California, right? We have to pay give them a 60-day notice. We can only increase it by whatever the percentage is. I think it's hovering around 9% right now. But if they leave, then you can just increase it and get a new tenant all the way.
Now, you and I talked a few months ago, not on the podcast, just online, and you were talking about doing Airbnb or maybe renting to traveling nurses in one of your properties. Did you end up doing that or not?
I am in the middle of that. I am in work in progress. We're working on a property. We're cleaning it up and we're getting it dialed in for the nurses. So yeah, the goal that year is to turn that into a short-term rental.
And this is for one of your fourplexes?
We're going to try it with one of our single family homes first, see how it goes. And then we're going to transition possibly all of them little by little.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So all your rentals that you want to go all short term?
Yeah. I mean, cause the cash flow is going to be almost three times of what I'm collecting right now. So if I'm able to rent that unit out for $1,000, but with nurses, we're able to, you know, charge $2,000 or $2,500. But of course, you know, there's overhead on it. There's utilities, there's furniture cost, there's cleaning cost. So, but you can still earn more than your regular lease.
Yeah. I mean, so you could basically double your revenue.
Right.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about how you're finding deals. So can you find deals on the MLS today?
Absolutely. Okay. 100%.
Okay. So is that where you're finding everything, or have you had to use other methods to find good properties today?
So, you know, I mean, I prospect for my real estate business, right? And every now and then I'm calling it and I come across a client that says, you know what, we want to sell it as is and we don't want to put it on the market. So I sit down with them and then we pencil out numbers. And if the numbers make sense, then I just buy it myself, right? And I disclose it. Mm-hmm. So they're all on board with it. And sometimes they're like, let's put it on the market. So we put it on the market. So that's one avenue. But on the MLS, if something pops up, the one thing I can say is that put your best foot forward, write as strong as offer as you can. Don't nickel and dime, just secure the deal.
That's interesting. Okay. So your day job is a realtor. So you're looking for deals. Like you're looking for properties to list. And if you can buy that property before it goes on the market, you're buying it. And, you know, of course your customer is fine with that. But what a great way to be building both businesses, to be building your real estate business and your rental business all in one.
Because I'm constantly looking for listings day in, day out, right? And I've come across clients that are like, you know what? We don't want to list. Just find us a cash buyer.
Yeah.
And then if something I can afford, then I'll take it. If not, then we'll call one of our investor clients.
And is there any kind of conflict there at all with you being an agent and buying properties like that?
We disclose them, right? Hey, I am a licensed California real estate agent, and they sign off on it. They're on board with it, and we just put in proper disclosures in place, and everyone's protected.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk about your properties and like what they generally look like. So, say for your properties, are you mainly buying three bedrooms or two bedrooms? Like what kind of properties do you think are the best?
Honestly, I think the three bedrooms are the best. The turnover rate is so low. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
The four units, the apartments are usually two bedrooms. And turnover on those is quite low also. And it's performing well. I mean, I'm staying away from one bedroom. That's just because we own a duplex, that's one bedroom. And the turnover on that is just insane. It's like every 6 months or a year, somebody's leaving. And it's not fun. So if I were to do it again, I would stay away from one bedroom, just two bedrooms or larger.
Why do you think the one bedrooms turn over so much?
You know, family grows or they just realize that place is too small. Or all of a sudden income is growing and they're like, you know what, we can afford a bigger, better place. Let's get up and leave. Right. So that's that.
One thing that you're doing that I want to ask you a little bit more about is that you're managing some of your properties yourself, but yeah. you have a property manager for other properties. And I think yeah. that's interesting because most people, they either have a manager or they self-manage. But so like, why are you doing that?
Well, I mean, of course, save money, right? Mm-hmm. But the houses that we own are in really nice neighborhoods, and they're really nice families that are living there. And we tested waters with them, right, for the first 3 months, and they don't call us. They don't complain. They don't call us for toilet leaks or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. They just send the rent on time. So it's like it's performing well. Why would I want to fork up another $100 for property management if there's really no hiccup? Why rock that boat?
Mm-hmm. And then for the ones that you've had a manager with, are they properties that are just causing you more trouble?
You know, it's just there's four units, right? So there's now you're dealing with four different tenants, and they're more demanding, I want to say. And every now, like recently, they got a call for a small plumbing leak. It was super simple. Then they got a call from a battery in the thermostat. Just I get more of those calls from those apartments than I do for the houses, right? I don't know why it's like that, but so I don't want to deal with those calls because my main focus is sales, right? I'm
right.
here to sell real estate. So if they start getting too demanding, I turn them over to property management.
I want to ask you about home warranties. Now, for anyone that doesn't understand how a home warranty works, can you explain to us real quick like what a home warranty is?
Yeah. It's so basically, you know, you buy a property and you purchase a home warranty. First 30 days, if something goes wrong, they're basically going to try to shake you off and say they don't cover it. But after that, if something does go out, you know, my property manager calls them. They have my credit card on file. They pay a $75 deductible. They come out and do the job, repair whatever it is, and address it. So I buy the cheapest home warranty possible, which basically covers any plumbing issues and HVAC issues and electrical. That's it. We don't shoot for appliances or anything like that.
Now, when we talked last time, you were buying them for every property. Have your thoughts changed on home warranties, or are you still a big believer in them?
I am. So if I acquire a property for the first year, I definitely buy it because I don't know what I'm getting into. Because, you know, there are times where a seller somehow forgot to disclose something mm-hmm. and you don't know what you're getting into. So just to avoid that big bill as a safety net, I like to buy it for the first year. And then depending on the property, how many phone calls we've gotten that year, we would decide if we're going to renew it on that specific property or we're just going to roll the dice.
You know, for my rentals, I've just never been able to get the numbers to work on a home warranty. I like the idea of it, but when you look at the cost, what do they cost today? Like $500, $600, $700?
You know, the basic one that I buy is about $500
okay.
for a four unit and $300 for single family.
And then every time they come out, there's a deductible,
$75.
So it's like when I look at like that, the cost of the warranty and then the cost of the deductible, like I feel like unless you have a lot of stuff going on at the property, I feel like I can get stuff fixed cheaper.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's basically a safety. I mean, they're in the insurance business to make money, right? They're
right.
not there to do free services. So, but the way I look at it is it's a safety net for the first year, and then you mm-hmm. just go accordingly the following year.
Yeah.
So for right now, half of my properties have them and half of them don't.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of times too, when you're buying, you can negotiate with the seller to get them to pay for the warranty.
Yeah.
And in that case, absolutely. I think it's totally worth it. If the seller is paying for it, why not? Yeah. So have you made any big mistakes like with your rentals?
Yeah, I have. I've managed a duplex in a rough part of a neighborhood myself. You know, it was one of the first multifamily purchases I made. So I hired a property manager, and then I learned that you want to screen your property managers too correctly mm-hmm. because there's some property managers that, you know, are really not by the books and are not looking out in your best interest.
Yeah, that's always
unfortunately.
Hard. Yeah. So when you're screening a property manager, like what kind of stuff are you looking for or what do you ask them?
Basically, you know, I mean, they're telling you what you want to hear. It's just you just have to go with your gut feeling
yeah.
and I just spoke to one and I pulled the trigger. Going forward, when I'm hiring a property manager, I'm interviewing like three or four of them at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Before I sign the docs.
That's a great idea because I always feel like a bad property manager, they know what to say. Like they know the game.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they think they're a good manager, but they don't always do what they say. So
yes,
it's hard. How about overspending? Like, have you ever like overspent on any improvements?
Yeah, just recently on one of our most recent purchases, we remodeled the bathroom and it cost me $8,000. But then a light bulb went off in my head and said I should have just done an insert and that would have cost me like $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. So why did you spend so much? Like, did you just kind of get carried away with it?
Yeah, I got carried away with it. And that's the unit that we were going to convert into a Airbnb, and it's for nurses. But we tiled out the shower, we tiled out the floor, and we basically went all out on it. Now that I'm thinking about it, we should have just cleaned it up and put in a nice insert, high quality insert, a stand-up shower, and it would have been just fine.
If anybody is either investing or interested in investing in Bakersfield, I would definitely recommend reaching out to Alex. He's a full-time agent. And he'd be happy to help you find a property. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode360. If Alex inspired you and you're ready to buy your first property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chailey Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, including her no-doc loan, where she doesn't need to see pay stubs, bank statements, or tax returns. She just wants to see that you have a good deal. If the numbers make sense, Chailey will give you a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Now, the rates are a little bit higher than a traditional loan, but it's still a great deal. If you want to find out more, just reach out to Chailey at RidgeLendingGroup.com. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe or follow the show. We put out new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you're subscribed, you'll get notified as soon as the new episodes come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.